at liveongiveon.org.
The newsroom was recorded at 11:06 this morning.
Support for WILL comes from Urbana's Market at the Square, happening every Saturday morning, rain or shine, from 7 a.m. to noon at the corner of Illinois and Vine Streets in historic downtown Urbana. Learn more at urbanaillinois.us/market.
You're listening to WILL AM 580. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Chris Berube. It's 12:30, so let's take a look at your Illinois public media news this hour. A measure that would allow Illinois residents to carry concealed firearms is headed to the House floor after lawmakers approved it in committee yet today. The legislation prohibits concealed carry in many public places like public transit, sports arenas, schools, and street festivals. Some of these have been sticking points for gun rights advocates who prefer universal carry. Harrisburg Democrat Brandon Phelps says legislation would help eliminate differing local gun laws in favor of a uniform state law.
If Representative Boss and I are going to go to Wisconsin goose hunting, we're traveling in our car. We're not going to know from one town to the other what's expected of them. Then they get pulled over, get a flat tire, and they find out their gun is transported illegally. They go to jail. We just don't think that's right.
But the elimination of local rules would also strike down bans on assault weapons like the one in Cook County. Concealed carry applicants would pay $150 for a permit. Applicants who are denied permits because local law enforcement says they're dangerous would be able to appeal to a 7-member review board. A northern Indiana school superintendent says most of the several dozen students hurt in a chain reaction crash involving 4 buses have been released from hospital. Superintendent Tom Eddington says a Wawasee High School sophomore was transferred to a Fort Wayne hospital for further assessment, but that her injuries weren't believed to be very serious. He says most students suffered bumps and bruises in Wednesday's crash near North Webster, while one student had a broken hand and another broke a collarbone. The most serious injury was to bus driver Josh Wagoner, who was flown by helicopter to Parkview Hospital in Fort Wayne. A hospital spokeswoman says he was in fair condition on Thursday. Eddington says about 2/3 of the 125 students were evaluated by medical personnel on the scene or at hospitals. A bill changing how sex education is taught in public schools passed the Illinois Senate yesterday. It now goes to Governor Pat Quinn, and a spokesman says that he supports the bill. The legislation says middle and high schools that offer sex ed courses have to use material approved by the State Board of Education. And while Illinois currently focuses on abstinence as a way to prevent unwanted births, the new law will also require schools to include information on contraception and sexually transmitted diseases. Senator Chapin Rose, a Republican from Mahomet, opposes the change, saying that it's not an issue for the government.
My root problem with all this is we are inserting ourselves into that conversation, which frankly is far more appropriate between the parent and their child.
Chicago Democrat Maddie Hunter disagrees. She defended the bill, saying that sex education in the classroom is needed to counter false information that young people pick up from their peers. Hunter says teaching students about birth control will help prevent STDs. Schools have the option to simply not offer sexual education classes, and parents remain free to withdraw their children from those classes. A former leader of a Western Illinois county's drug court is facing federal charges that he maintained a drug house. The Quincy Herald-Whig reports that 59-year-old John Grotz of IRSA made his first court appearance Wednesday on federal charges that replaced 2 state methamphetamine-related charges that he was earlier dealt. The former head of the Adams County Drug Court was arrested along with a live-in 35-year-old Quincy woman after a raid on Grotz's home. Items reportedly seized from the home include 2 bags of marijuana, related paraphernalia, and 11 guns. Authorities say that Grotz's co-defendant insisted the meth materials in the home belonged to her and that Grotz denied using or making drugs. Grotz has been a leader of the county's drug court program since 2008, but was fired by the county on May 9th. Illinois' backlog of bills has dropped to under $6 billion, down from $8.5 billion at the start of April. That's thanks to residents and companies paying their taxes last month. Comptroller Judy Barr-Topinka says that's good news, at least for Illinois' quote, new normal in terms of finances. But she warns that lawmakers can't get cozy as they draft their new spending plan.
And live within your means. And what is not to understand about that? We must maintain that to get out of this fiscal funk that we're in.
Education would get hit under Pat Quinn's proposed budget, something some legislators continue to fight against. Topinka, who's a Republican, says Illinois needs to be careful as it considers cuts to education. She says kids only have one shot at school and that it's critically important for their development. Well, the population of Illinois has been evaluated, and there are some surprises in the findings. The population of Chicago has climbed slower than any major city in the United States, according to a new survey. Chicago's population rose by about 10,000 between July 2011 and July 2012 to just more than 2.7 million. Rockford and Waukegan were the only two cities in Illinois' top 10 that saw an actual drop in population. Wheelchair athlete and U of I alumnus Ryan Chalmers is taking a rest day today in Champaign-Urbana before continuing on his push across America. The 24-year-old Chalmers is traveling from Los Angeles to New York in his racing wheelchair. He wants his trip to inspire people, especially those with disabilities, to take on challenges and to keep their goals high. Chalmers, who competed in the marathon in last year's London Paralympics, says that his 60-mile-a-day journey has been challenging, and that one big challenge has been the psychological effects of severe heat when traveling through places like Death Valley.
You know, it can kind of change you mentally going across the country. You have to stop and think a lot more. It kind of just tries to stray you a little bit because your mind is going to try to mess with you a little bit more than your body will. So I definitely have found moments where it was hot and I've had to, you know, put a cold cloth over my head and sit down for a second and recoup.
Chalmers spoke on AM 580's Focus this morning. You can hear a replay at 8 p.m. tonight and listen online to the full interview at will.illinois.edu/focus. Ryan Chalmers resumes his push across America tomorrow morning and plans to be in Indianapolis on Saturday. His 71-day journey is scheduled to end in New York City on June the 15th. Taking a look at sports this hour, the Chicago Cubs are playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's the bottom of the third, and right now the Pirates are ahead 4-0. Looking at the NHL tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks resume their second-round playoff series against the Wings at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. Currently, the Red Wings are ahead 2-1 in that best-of-seven second-round series. For all of your Illinois public media news, visit us online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Chris Berube.
Support comes from the Yoga Institute of Champaign-Urbana, with beginner-level instruction in Iyengar Yoga and special classes for men, women, teens, seniors, knees, low back, neck, and shoulders. New classes start the first week of June. Details at 344-YOGA.
This is WILL. Let's take a look at your Champaign-Urbana weather. For the rest of today, cloudy with a 30% chance of light showers expected. It's going to be cooler with a high of only 62. That's a full 20 degrees cooler than it was earlier this week. Northwest winds of 15 to 20 miles per hour will continue, with gusts getting up to around 25 miles per hour early afternoon. That should cut the temperature pretty considerably. Tonight, mostly clear and colder with a low of only 38. North winds of 10 to 15 miles per hour and a few gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the evening. Friday, it's expected to be sunny with a high of 65. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 44. Looking ahead to Memorial Day weekend, on Saturday, partly sunny and a 30% chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 67. Saturday night through Sunday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of rain and a low of 51. On Memorial Day proper, mostly cloudy and a 30% chance of showers. Let's take a look at some temperatures around the state this hour. In DeKalb, it's cloudy and 53 at the moment. In Chicago at O'Hare Airport, it's 49 degrees. In Macomb, cloudy and 61 right now. In Decatur, it's cloudy and 60, and in Peoria, there is some light rain, and it is 56 degrees. In Pontiac right now, it's cloudy and 55. Springfield, light rain and 61. In Champaign at Willard Airport, we're seeing light rain and 57 degrees at the moment, and it is 54 at Friends Plaza in Urbana outside of our studios. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. NPR's Wayne Goodwin spent time with the city manager of Moore, Oklahoma, as officials figure out how to rebuild after Monday's deadly tornado. The city is concerned about everything from threats to public health to hiring contractors who have to haul away big chunks of the town. Here's Wayne Goodwin.
On the drive south into Moore from Oklahoma City, you can tell when you're starting to get close by the mud splatter. Before the EF5 blasted through on Monday, it had been raining hard for days in central Oklahoma. When the tornado initially dropped from the sky, the first videos show it distinctly, trim and white, a perfectly formed little EF1. 15 minutes later, plowing a trough half a mile wide, it was a mud-caked, fat monster, fuzzy, black, and ravenous. Like most everything in town, Moore City Hall is splattered with tornado mud, big, ugly gobs top to bottom.
Item number 4 is consider adoption of resolution number 76713.
And like many here in Moore, City Manager Steve Eady has been through this before in 1999.